Oh, Shadow, aloha from Hawaii.
Originally born in New York City on St. Patrick's Day and joining us from Kailua, Hawaii, the first lady of underground comedy, Rusty Warren. A pleasure and aloha, Rusty.
Well, aloha to you too, Shadow.
Now, Rusty, although you were a New York City girl, your parents moved to Milton, Massachusetts at an early age.
Yes, I was lucky enough to be adopted at 6 months old. That's how I ended up in New York. I guess the original people that birthed me were there. And my father and mother went down and found this adorable little blonde with blue eyes and took me home, and my home became Massachusetts, Milton, Massachusetts.
Actually, as a child, Rusty, you were a piano student and then instructor at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston under the watchful direction of the legendary Arthur Fiedler of the Boston Pops.
He was a marvelous, marvelous mentor. And, of course, everybody knows his history. We don't have to go into that. But I had the pleasure of playing some of the 26 piano concerts along with other things that he had done. He was very much into young people and taking their careers and making them better musicians and students. And I went to the college and graduated in New England Conservatory and became an assistant. And then I wanted show business.
I've seen your albums everywhere as a kid, such as Songs for Sinners, and began collecting them myself back in the 70s when mint copies on the original Jubilee label began selling for outrageous collector's prices, Rusty.
Isn't that funny? I get that occasionally someone said they found an original Jubilee, which I sold that company in the 80s, and Knockers Up or Bounce Your Boobies, Band in Boston, one of those other albums they found, and I had autographed it to somebody, you know, not those people that were looking for it, because every time after the show I would autograph albums and things for my fans that came to the various shows that I played all those years. And they found an autographed one, which obviously went for more, because it said to, you know, Charlie and Joan or whatever it is. And it was funny, and they said they paid, I don't know, certainly more than $3.98, which was what it cost in those years.
Anyone who's ever read about or has been fortunate enough to see one of your ribald shows knows that back in the 60s, you really pushed the envelope with your double entendres and suggestive material, Rusty.
Well, I was talking about sex from the female sense of building comedy into a feeling of emotion that was very difficult to go through at the time when things were changing. Men were coming out of their navy blue suits and white socks and brown shoes department, and were wearing narrow jackets and gold things and an earring, and wow, guys didn't do that. Women were more freer, demanding more in the sexual scene. Even though I did talk about sex, I didn't talk with the four-letter words you hear today used in regards to the subject. I talked about men and women and their associations together and by play off the mostly assuming marriage. Didn't get into the offbeat, off the wall stuff. I really didn't. I didn't use the gay stuff. I didn't use mistress's department or black and white, or I didn't use anything off Mr. and Mrs. America in the backyard with a Rusty Warren album and a couple of beers. Kind of party album syndrome is what they used to call it.
You're so right, Rusty. There were many legendary blue comics in your day who stepped over the line, but listeners must remember there were also staunch guidelines, additionally even state laws that prohibited language, content, and even sexual references back then.
Well, it's true because I was the lighter one. I used hell and damn and stuff like that, but I never used anything heavier. My friend, or I considered her a friend at the time, Belle Bath, was also 20 years older than I, so she got away with much more. She was more, as they say, very risque, which was one of her funny lines. She was very risque. I couldn't get into that. It wouldn't have looked good on me on stage anyway. I just never talked that way. And Pearl Williams and the other ladies that did the risque comedy field at that time. And this was later, because we can't put Sophie Tucker into that. She was another generation before us. So things got funny. Of course, the basic one about the laws, the only one that got into that was Lenny Bruce. Lenny got some heavy stuff because of what he did, and he got in jail, and you know his whole story. But he was really showing society what their culture was like, what was happening. And he was being really raw and honest about it. And he did it from the male perspective, of course.
Rusty, of course, in 1961, your timeless Knockers Up mm-hmm. became a household phrase after you coined it in a stage performance in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Actually, I think it was in Dayton, Ohio. Just before that, I was talking Knockers Up. I made the album in Fort Lauderdale. The Knockers Up album was made there at the Golden Falcon. But in Dayton, Ohio, my boss was Mike Longo at a little Italian restaurant. And I started to play a little march thing and yelling at some ladies with the big boobs, "Come on, get your knockers up, put a smile on your face. Let's show the world what we've got to give them." Boss was a crazy, wonderful, delightful, funny guy, big, heavy guy, came out with his cigar and started marching around the room. Well, the ladies were mad. They love him. Of course, this is their town. He was their, you know, guy. He's known them a long time. And they kept marching behind. I started doing the rhythm faster and faster, and the mouth kept moving. I said all kinds of stuff. Before you know it, it became a routine called Knuckles Up March. Funny how things happen.
Rusty, who were some of your peers in the comedy business during that period? I know I equate bold, raw comedy with the likes of Tom Lear, Lenny Bruce, whom you mentioned, and Red Fox.
Well, no, these were males. Women don't relate as much to the male comic as female comedians want to see other women. There was Nan Blackstone, there was Ruth Wallace, and a couple of others. I can't quite remember their names, but not people weren't. But Sophie was my mentor, Sophie Tucker. She did an elegant version of the naughty things between men and women, very delicately, because she was, of course, in the 20s, I think, 20s, 30s. Maybe she came around in the 30s. But those are the people we look to see. I mean, we didn't have much to reach for in female comedians, per se. They were piano lounge players. And that's what these ladies were. And that's what I am today for the young people that are out there. I'm the female comedian. Bella's gone. Pearl, I think, is gone also. They both passed away years ago. And Ruth Wallace, I think, might be still with us. I'm not sure. And these were the ones just before me. I came out in mid-50s, made my first album in 59. Knockers Up was made in 1960, and it won the award in 61 or 62, the National Female Comedians Award. So it was during that time frame. I was a little bit, now I'm the legend, and young comedians always come up, especially the young women. How was it like? Isn't it tough being a female comic? You damn right it is. It was very tough, especially our subjects. But it was a wonderful career.
Rusty, now you retired from the business years ago. What made you move to Hawaii after being a Northeasterner for such a long time?
Well, it's sort of silly. To backtrack a bit, I was, Christine Jorgensen was a friend of mine. I had met her just after she became very, very famous. She worked in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in fact. And we met there and we fished and had a lot of people in common and had a lot of fun. Well, Chris had died, and she died at Laguna Niguel in California. And I was in the West Coast, so I went to the funeral to pay my respects to her because we were sort of friends over the years. And I met another friend of mine from the MGM editing department in the movies. And I said, "Well, you look great. I haven't seen you in years. How you doing?" She said, "I'm moving to Hawaii. I love it over there. I've been going over there for 20 years. I'm moving. Call me. Come on over and visit." And I forgot all about it. And about months later, I get a Christmas card. "Hey, I finally made it to Hawaii. Got off the freeway in California. Come over and visit." Well, I did. I went over January of the next year, whenever it was. And I visited a couple of weeks, and I liked it. Then I was in the midst of selling my properties in Arizona. I lived there for many years. And my mother finally passed away in 1989 at 95 years old. So I was free to move. I had no encumbrance. I never would have left Arizona until my mother had gone. There was no reason. I would never do that. So I went over, and I liked it over there. I really liked it here. And I kept coming back, and then I put my house up for sale. It took a couple of years to fold down the corporations and the business and selling the companies and stuff like that. So I came over here, and that's about 12 years ago, I think, about this place in 91 or 2, something like that. And I've been here since then.
Were you married, Rusty?
No, I've had a lot of husbands. I don't know whose they were. No, I didn't. Never got married.
What's your take on the no-holds-barred, anything-goes comedy of present-day nightclubs and public-access cable channels? Imagine even dreaming of some of today's topics a mere 30 years ago. Now, after all, some of these new comedians are taking comedy to a new level. I don't know if that's good or bad, but then again, so did you in the mid-50s.
Well, comedy usually says what society is at the time. That's what comedy basically does, male or female comedy, it doesn't matter. I'm not too thrilled with some of the vulgarity. I mean, you can say the word if it fits what you're talking about, but a constant repetition of the F word all the time gets very monotonous, almost like you don't have anything better to say. I find that so unnecessary, but that's the way they're working today because it's a different society today. People taking sex like they have the morning cereal, it doesn't mean anything. I dealt in comedy from the emotion, loving somebody, caring. Sex was part of it. And I was telling women to relax, enjoy it. You can. You're a woman. You can. There's no reason why not. But today's women are more demanding, very aggressive, the way they dress on stage, the way they look, what they're saying, how they treat the male. They do a lot of put-down comedy on the male. I find that wrong to do to an audience. There's no reason to do it and be funny. You can be funny in a different way, using the man in a different sense. And that's how I feel. In fact, I was there just the other night, local comedians, to see some of the new young women and men. Very funny, very good, excellent. I enjoyed it. And one of the young ladies came up to me, and she wore Levi's, her navel showing, and a nice top. She had very, very big boobs. And she dressed like someone in the audience, like the rest of the young kids dress. I said, you want to be a star? Act like one. Get up there, wear something different. Don't wear what the audience wears. That's what I see them doing. There isn't one male comic that has a shirt and tie, and they don't have to. People don't dress that way anymore, men or women. But I just feel that a woman should dress nicely. You don't have to be, I don't know, maybe you won't be accepted unless you wear Levi's or boots or whatever it is they're wearing. I don't know. I can't figure it out, really, today. But that's my take on it.
Rusty, who would you rather see at a comedy club, Rodney Dangerfield or Eddie Murphy?
Rodney I know, and Eddie I couldn't possibly tolerate. He's clever and witty and vulgar, and I don't find that, I don't relate to that kind of humor. Let's put it that way. I don't know Eddie Murphy. I do know Roger D. Neither one. I don't deal, unless the guy is very, very clever. I'm trying to think. I haven't seen too many of them. Most of them got into show business. You know, Jay Leno, all the guys are all doing something else now that were good comedians.
Don Rickles.
Don Rickles. Oh, Don has always been a marvelous, marvelous gentleman. Whether you believe it or not, he's a wonderful gentleman and a very funny man. And a little rough around the edges, don't forget. He did a lot of tough stuff there in the 60s that we all did. I used to watch him every time in Vegas when I worked Vegas. He did the later show. He was wonderful. They're all actors or dead.
Rusty, so what was the big conflict in the late 50s and early 60s with freedom of speech? It's ironic that the legendary Lenny Bruce, whom you mentioned earlier, was arrested at the Jazz Workshop in San Francisco on October 4th, 1961, for using the term cocksucker in his performance and had an FBI file 14 pages long. How times have changed, huh, Rusty?
They sure have. First of all, we never dealt with any other positions than the norm in our comedy, if we were to talk about men, women, and sex at all. Never. And all this, he was the first one that opened up to saying, hey, this is what people are doing, whether you believe a lot. Starts with Cleopatra and works its way up. You know, I mean, this is what he was saying. And he was right. He was finally bringing the closet door open. In fact, when I met Lenny at two Hefner's parties in Chicago at the main house. We used to party at the Playboy Mansion all the time after our show. He came over and he says, "Hey, bitch, you're a cop-out. You're just tiptoeing around what's really happening. I'm telling him where it's at." And he laid into me like you wouldn't believe. And it was funny. Rowan and Martin were there, and Arthur Godfrey was there sitting next to me. And Arthur said, "Oh, Lenny, lay off the kid." I was a kid, you know. I was, what, 28, 30 years old. He says, "Lay off the kid. She's only doing what she likes to do. She can't do what you do. It wouldn't look good on her." You know, Arthur was very sort of, not prudish, but very gentlemanly kind of guy. And so it really was interesting to watch Lenny, the way his thinking process went. I'm so sorry that he destroyed himself with drugs in his years. It was so sad because he was so brilliant. So many things that he did were wonderful in the early part of his career. Another martini for Mother Gabrini. I mean, it just breaks you up.
Rusty, we must note that throughout entertainment, there have been major First Amendment issues, such as with the Doors lead singer Jim Morrison, who was jailed for indecent exposure on stage in Miami, Florida, March 1st, 1969. Obviously, there was an equally low tolerance for any type of questionable behavior, verbal or physical, during that era.
Yes. Well, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do it. Del Bott pulled a top down once at her show that I heard about. So, I mean, you know, people are doing whatever they're doing to make a mark or to show, to be different, to shock you. I mean, it was all shocking in the 60s. Nobody did the stuff with why it became the legend I am, or did something shocking. I talked about sex, about women liking sex, about throwing your knockers high, marching. That was Rusty. This one, other one did the other thing. And Jimmy Morrison did his shtick. And somebody else would do something else. They had to shock the people. It was an apathetic group of people long before the 60s came out. And everybody tore themselves apart. The Beatles, Elvis, all of us. We came in on a wave of social upheaval, society's upheaval, and sex came along with it. I was part of that delineator of that subject along the way.
You know, Rusty, back in the 50s when women wore blouses up to their chins and skirts down to their ankles,
right,
your risque routines were admittedly truisms. And I like your quote that your material is too soft for nursery rhymes these days. How true?
Oh, yeah. That's true. Only because I don't use the swearing vernacular or the vulgarity of today. But the women are still saying tough stuff today about men and drugs and their lives. And nothing's really changed, Shadow. When you think of it, nothing's changed. The emotions between men and women are still the same. They're expressed in comedy a totally different way than how we expressed it. Don't forget, Sophie Tucker had to be more delicate. It was in the 20s and 30s or whatever, 30s and 40s. And I came out late 50s and 60s. I could be a little rougher, a little more risque on the edge. Now the girls today in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s are totally, "Hey, babe, take it or leave it. Shove it up your you-know-what." That's the attitude. And I don't think it looks very pretty on a woman, even if she's adorable and got sexy whatevers. You know, it's what comes out of the mouth, and some of them are hurting themselves with that. But you take brilliant comedians like Rita Rudnick and Paula Poundstone, Ellen DeGeneres. These are clever. Kate Clinton, all these are very clever ladies. And they're part of the function today. And they always will be. And it's good. Elaine Boozer, all of these ladies are very, very talented women. And they're saying a lot of what's happening now. And saying it nicely. You don't have to be crude to do it.
Rusty, you may live in Hawaii, but your accent is pure Boston all the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not particularly on stage. I think when I was more the Rusty character on Under the Light with the mic, my English was different. I think I spoke within a different phrase. But I've been just me for so long now. Whatever it is, the old gravel voice, the Annie over here.
Best comedy recording artist, Rusty Warren. Rusty, such a pleasure, and thank you so much for taking us back to the 50s and 60s with some classic memories. Aloha, Rusty.
Aloha to you, Shadow.